Okay. Okay. All right, so let's take a look. That Torah is from Hosea, Perek Yud Dalet. The reason why this week is called Shabbat Shuvah, or some places they call it Shabbat Shuvah, right? Shuvah. But really, called the title Shabbat Shuvah is from the Zohar Torah. Right? Shuvah Yisrael, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Beis in Hosea. Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, Ki Chashalta Ba'avonecha. Chuim achem dvorim b'shuvu el Hashem, im lo elav kol tisa avon v'kach tov, v'nishalma parim tfaseinu. The biggest challenge in Nevi'im Achronim is why is it not free association, right? And the psukim individually all fit together, and maybe generally they do also, but it seems like it flows in a free associative fashion. So again, let's look at the psukim. Let's look at the first few psukim. Shuvah Yisrael, return Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokecha, until Hashem Elokecha. What exactly does that mean, until Hashem Elokecha?
My hands go missing.
What does it mean to return into Hashem?
Up to the...
Right? Up until Hashem. I mean, does Hashem record in a particular place? Is the word record? Ad Hashem Elokecha. So that's the thing. Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ki chashalta bavonecha. Because you have stumbled over your sin. Stumbled over your sin. Kuim achem dvarim, take with you, ostensibly words, v'shuvah l'Hashem, and return to Hashem. Imru elav, say to him, kol tisa avon, lift up, right, all of my sins, lift them up, carry them away. V'kach tov, and take good, v'nashalom aparim shaseinu, and let our lips, as it were, take the place of our sacrifice. Then all of a sudden, Ashur lo yoshienu, Assyria will not save us. Al sus lo nirkav, we will not ride upon the horse. That's a reference, a veiled reference to Mitzrayim. Why? Because Mitzrayim was always a source of horses. Yeah, in the court, in the Middle East. Lo nomar od Eloheinu, no longer will we say that they are our gods. Lamas yadenu, the handiwork of our hands. In other words, we will never say to idols, to those things we've created. They don't necessarily have to be idols. They could be institutions. They could be, movements. Right? Lo nomar od Eloheinu lamaaseh yadeinu. Asher b'cha yirucham yason. And this appears to be a total, right? Asher b'cha, that in through you, yirucham, there will be mercy upon the yason, upon the orphan. What does that do the price of eggs? Right? So let's stop here. Let's go back to the call. Let's go back to the, let's see some of the handout. And hopefully we'll call it, see some interesting things here. Look at the first citation. Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ad Hashem Elokecha. Says Rashi. Tani says, he's quoting from the Gemara in Yuma. Tani b'shem Rabbi Meir, Shuvah Yisrael ba'od shu Hashem b'midat harachmim v'imlav elokecha midat hadin. What does that mean? In other words, the exhortation. What does it mean, Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem elokecha? So always know, we talked about it the last time, I think, as well. The shem Havaya, Yudkei Vavkei, is a shem that always associated with midat harachmim. The shem Elokim, it's always a name that's associated with Midas Adin. Shuvah Yisrael, what does it mean? Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So Rabbi Meir, as quoted by Rashi, says, return back to Hashem while he's still b'midas harachamim. The imlav, and if you don't, it'll be b'midas adin. Right? The imlav, Elokecha, Midas Adin. Ad de lo yis'aved sanegoria kategoria. Do not allow the relationship you have with Hashem to transform from one that speaks in your defense on your behalf to one that speaks as the one who indicts you. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem lekecha. Turn to Hashem while he's being merachem on you, before he comes to, as it were, execute midas din upon you. Sanegoria is defense, categoria is prosecution. Ki hashalta, bo lecha michsholim ba'av avonecha. Many michsholim have come to you as a result of your avon. What does that mean? In other words, realize that, where did your averis take you? They didn't get you anything good. They brought disaster upon you. Many stumbling blocks have been created by your distancing yourself from Hashem. So that's the way Rashi addresses the first pasuk. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return back to Hashem. Return sooner rather than later. Right? Why is he merachem on you, preferably for your benefit, before he's come to you with midas hadin? And why should you do it? Because look around you, see everything is a catastrophe. Ki hashalta b'avonecha. You see many kishlonos have come from your behavior. If you translate that into the terms of our day now, right? Of our day now. Do tshuva, why? Because look around us. Look around us. Let's say just in terms of Israel, right? Look in terms of Israel. The educational system is in total shambles. The army, as a result, whatever result it was, the army is what we call this last debacle, right? Has been, it was like ineffectual. The catastrophe, as they say in Hebrew, right? Catastrophe. Right? It's a catastrophe. Ki chashalta b'avonecha. It's time for a reassessment. The fact is, I don't usually speak about current events, but the fact is that people realize, right? People realize, and many people, even amongst the elites that are writing articles now, that recall everything is a catastrophe. Problem is, they don't know that the first part of the pasuk is Shuv Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. But many people are realizing there are many kishlonot here. There's societal kishlonot. There are inequalities in society. Education is a disaster. Education is an absolute disaster. The people who are going through the secular system are b'chal got no shaychus to any principles anymore. None. We're living in a world of post-Zionism. So even forget about I won't even address the issue as whether you're a Zionist, you're not a Zionist, but we're living in a post-Zionist world. People are just not moved by that anymore. Oh, let's go out and save the recall this and do that because, if anything, recall this war generated some positive recall, some lo aleinu at a terrible cost, but generated some positive recall, some positive emotions in people. Incredible self-sacrifice on the part of what we call soldiers, on the part of citizenry, right? Willingness, what we call to put up with the difficult situations, willingness, mamish to be most nefesh, true to gemashmo, tremendous amount of chesed was generated. All those are valuable, but performed with total doldrums. So the Navi says, Shuv Yisrael Hashem Lekecha, Kichashalta Bavanecha, Kishalom Baviach. That's the way Rashi understands. The Talmud speaks about it differently. The Talmud addresses a different principle. See the next citation. And the Gemara Nuan Daf Pebov. Omar Rabbi Levi, Gedola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod, Shneemar Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Great is Tshuva in that it reaches back to the Kisei HaKavod. To the Kisei HaKavod. As it says, Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, until Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so that's the first thing. So we're talking about a tshuva in this pasuk, says the Gemara, that reaches till the Kisei HaKavod. Fine. Further, says the next citation, also in the Gemara Nuni. Amar Ish Lakish. Tshuva, Gdola tshuva, Shezdonos Nasos Lo Kishgagos. Shneemar Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ki Chashalta Bavonecha. The Gemara now, Reish Lakish, is now coming to address that there's a paradox in the Pasuk. We know it's important to know for Yom Kippur. There's three different types of Averis. There's Chet, right? There's Chet, there's Avon, and there's Pesha. Chet is a shogeg. A boo-boo. Oh, I can't believe I forgot. It was Shabbat, right? And I did whatever I did. Now, a person is responsible for that also. A person is culpable for that as well. Because what's important to you, you don't forget. As my mother, Lashama, used to say, and she was right. As much as she used to bug me. But the fact is, it's pretty close. She was right. If it really was important to you, you wouldn't forget it. You don't forget where you're going Saturday night. You don't forget what you call. You don't forget to pick up that new what you call new outfit. We don't forget. What do we forget? Oh, I forgot. See, that's a show. That's a chet. Then there's an avon. What's an avon? An avon is where I did it on purpose. Why did I do it on purpose? I knew what was right and I knew what was wrong. I couldn't help myself. I was spiritually spineless, right? I was a spiritual non-chordate. That's what it was. That's what he called. That is an avon. An avon is my Yitzhar got the better of me. He's saying, do it, do it, do it. I'm saying, oh no, I shouldn't do it. He said, oh, do it, do it. Don't be a sap. I listened to him. I gave in. I was a wimp. That's it. That's an avon. And then there's a pesha. What's a pesha? A pesha is where I want to make it exceedingly clear that I want to do what I want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. No one will tell me what to do. Zeho. That's a pesha. Okay.
So avon was
do it on purpose, but I want to make a point that I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? Avon is where everybody calls, oh, God, I was so God, you understand, right? You forgive me, won't you? What do you call it? You can't help myself, right? Right? Be a jerk, right? Pull yourself together and be a mensch. So that's what he called. That's an oval. Pesha is, no one's going to tell me what to do. I want to leave my life where I want to leave my life. Right? Call it, it's my life. I'll leave it the way I want to leave it. Okay. The pesha. Sort of. Now, so we can read the pasuk then. The pasuk then is problematic. Shuv Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta, what's a michshol, stumbling. Bavonecha, stumbled over an avot. How do you stumble? Stumbling implies mistake, right? Stumbling implies shogeg, and avon implies mazid. So what's the pasuk mean? The terminology is what you call it, is not appropriate. Ki chashalta bavonecha. Nachon? Answers the Gemara, right? Right? Answers the Gemara. Well, really, the Gemara said the answer first. Zdonos natos lo kishgagos. What's being described over here is Shuvah Yisrael, return to Hashem, right? When you did avonos even. Ki chashalta bavonecha, right? You can create a situation where we'll refer to your avon as a kishalon. How is that? So we'll see in a second. So ask the Gemara question, back to that middle line. Gemara says, Ki chashalta bavonecha ha'avon, but avon, the old avon is mezidu. The kakari, and you have called it, right? Michshol, you called it a stumbling block. How can that be? Elamai, we're saying that the zdonos are turned into shkagos. Right? Zdonos are turned into shkagos. In other words, if a person does tshuva, he says, Hashem, please forgive me, etc., for what I did. So the averis that he did with malice aforethought, premeditatedly, turn into shkagos. They turn into as though he did it by mistake. It'll become clear in a second, don't worry. V'amar Reish Lakish, still in the middle of that second line. V'amar Reish Lakish, how can that be? Didn't Reish Lakish say, G'dola tshuva shizdonos natas lo kizchuyos? Didn't Reish Lakish say that if you're over an avera, the mazid, right, and you do tshuva, it becomes afterwards like a schus. It's transformed into a positive act. Nifty, no? Isn't that nifty? To turn an avera into a positive act? That's amazing. How can that be? How come they never told me about that before? Zdonos natas lo kizchuyos. This is a contradiction. The pasuk says, "Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki chashalta b'avonecha," which implies that your avon can be turned into a kishalon, into a stumbling. Your avon can be turned from a mazid into a shogeg. But Rizrakish himself, who is the author of this particular interpretation of the pasuk, he himself said in another source that when a person does tshuva, he transforms his avonos into a schus, the positive act, not shogeg averus, but the positive act. So there's a self-contradiction in the words of Reish Lakish.
Wait, who's the rabbi?
Who's the opinion?
Yeah.
Reish Lakish, that's his name. His name is really Reb Shimon ben Lakish, right? They used to call him Reish Lakish. Reish means head. Chief Lakish, right? As opposed to what we call it, you know, Chief Skyhawk or whatever. Chief Lakish, he used to be a robber.
What?
He was a robber.
Really?
He was a bandit. He was a bandit, and one time, one of the great Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan, who was also the author of the Talmud Yerushalmi, happened upon him in the forest, and he saw this Reish Lakish, the Shimon ben Lakish guy, jump from one side of a river to the other. He was like amazingly powerful. I mean, he's a brute. He was an absolute brute. And Rav Yochanan, rather than go running and hide in a cave someplace, you know, in fear, called out to him. He said, "You there, chelech lo raisa." He says, "Your strength you should use for Torah." That's daring, wouldn't you say? I'd be afraid the guy'd pull out a magnum and give me another orifice in my forehead, right? He says, "Chelech lo raisa, your strength should go for what he called for Torah." He's listening to him, and he says, "And what will you do if I do that? What will you give me if I do that? Like, what's in it for me?" He says, "I'll marry my sister off to you. Right? If you do it." I mean, look what we're talking about here. And he obviously did that. He says, "Fine." Then he tried to jump back to the other side of the river. And he couldn't do it anymore. So he turned to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, "What happened? Why can't I jump to the other side of the river?" He says, "You accepted upon yourself the yoke of Torah. I know you are sincere, right? And Torah matesh is kochol shaladam. When a person commits himself to Torah, it weakens him a little bit. Because he's taken what he calls some of his energy, all of his energy really, right? And he's primarily directed it towards Torah. That's why you don't have the strength to jump to the other side of the river anymore. Torah matesh is kochol shaladam." And he became, eventually, one of the greatest of the Amoraim. He became Rabbi Yochanan's Chavrusa. And he goes became his brother-in-law. First he was a student, then he became his Chavrusa, and he became his brother-in-law. Nifty story. At any rate, so Reish Lakish, the pasuk says, "Ki chashalta b'avonecha." If an avon is something you did on the mazid, how can you refer to it as a kishalon? Right? Now that's what the Gemara is asking. Kishalon means something you stumble over. Right? So there's stumbling is shogeg. Says the Gemara, what it's describing is that through the process of tshuva, you transform what they call your oven into a kishalon, into a shuva Yisrael. And the result will be that kilu kashalta b'avonechas, kilu you stumbled over your averus that you committed b'mezid, they will be transformed into shogeg. So that's how they explain it. Otherwise, they got a contradiction. That's how they explain it. Again, they're not explaining the way Rashi did. Rashi understood the kishalon is you've seen the ramifications of your sins, right? You're in a bad way, etc. The Gemara is not understanding that. They're understanding on a very, very much what he called, you know, on the essence of the thing. Kishalon is shogeg. Avon is mazid. How do the two go together? If you do tshuva, then what he called then your avon is turned into a shogeg. But then, that's a separate issue. Comes along the Gemara and says, "But wait a second, Reish Lakish himself said that a person does tshuva, he transforms his averas, his avonos, into schuyos, into positive deeds. Right? Into positive deeds."
Oh. I mean...
What?
This is weird.
Why is that weird?
Because how can he just,
She took that. She got a pen back. How can you? Oh, we'll see. We'll see how that works. Well, there's two questions. The first question was that was embedded in the Gemara, was, this was a Gemara, there was really was embedded in the Gemara, that there's a contradiction in the pasuk. First it talks about Avon, I talked about Michshol, and talked about Avon. That itself is a contradiction in terms. Michshol implies Shogeg, Avon implies what he called implies Mezid. But the Gemara said, that Reish Lakish explained that already. He said that if a person does tshuva, he transforms his averas that he committed on purpose and transforms them into ili, did them by mistake. Right? That was the first thing. But then the Gemara is confronted by not a contradiction in the pasuk, but rather a contradiction in the words of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, we thought was of the opinion that if a person does tshuva, he transforms his averas into positive deeds. What gives? Oh, right. Right. That's it. What do you call it? So then we call it, so how could that be? Answers the Gemara, right? I mean, it brings proof first of what he says, but shuv rasha mirishaso, v'asa mishmur estaka, aleim hu yichya. And when a person does tshuva, he lives from his tshuva. In other words, it gives him life, it gives him vibrancy. His tshuva doesn't just correct, it doesn't just remove the bad. It gives him vibrancy. Notice that pasuk, ubeshuv. Now the next last line in that citation that we're reading, which is the third citation on the page, right? Ubeshuv, in the middle of the line. Ubeshuv rasha mirishaso. And in the midst of his returning, when the rasha turns back, mirishaso from his wayward ways, v'asa mishpat tzedakah, and he does mishpat tzedakah, aleihem hu yichya, upon them he will live. Lo kasha, says the Gemara. It's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. Kan mi ava, kan mi yira. Depends what type of tshuva you do. Tshuva mi ava, tshuva mi yira. Tshuva mi ava, tshuva mi yira. Now let's understand that. What does that mean? Right? That means, what is the person, when a person does tshuva mi yira? A person does tshuva mi yira. So what has he done? He knows he's done something bad. And he looks back on what he's done, and he says, whoa, how could I have done something so stupid? Why is it stupid? Because the Lord is going to whoop me, right? Right. This is Lahavdil, right? Lahavdil, there they are, with thing one and thing two, right? Mommy hasn't come yet back from the store, right? I guess you never read The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, well, I was
going to
say the
con,
huh?
Yeah, right, so fine. Somebody call up. Well, she's going to come home, and that's going to be the end of us. We're finished. Right, this is the most stupid thing to do. I'm over a virus, and we call, and what? For a gain of what? Like, you know, however much time I got, what do you call it? I enjoyed the Avera, right? And what price am I going to pay for it? Oh, what a price they're going to pay for it, right? I'm paying a heavy price for it. What a stupid thing to do. What a poor investment, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. And personally, I'm saying he means it heartfelt, not just like, oh, you know, I broke the Ming vase, and what have you got to say about it? Harry, right? I'm not talking about that. From heartfelt, personally, what a catastrophe. What have I done? What a stupid thing I did. What do you call it? I'm going to get such an onus for it. Right? What a foolish thing to have done. So there, what am I saying? Essentially, what I'm saying is that I was an idiot. I was temporarily insane, Kihilu, when I did this. I mean, I wasn't. I'm responsible for what I did. But I'm an idiot for what I did. So since my mindset now, my relationship to that act, what was my relationship at the act, when I did the act? This is life. This is life. This is worthwhile. This is valuable. This is meaningful. That's my relationship to the act. Now what's my relationship to the act? Very different. Now my relationship to the act is, this is the most stupid thing I could have done. So now my relationship with the act is one, this was, I would call, my will is completely detached from it. If I only could have undone it, what a stupid thing to have done. That transforms the act from a mazid into a shogeg. Because like the Mesillas Yesharim said, in the world of tshuva, akira haratzon, to remove one's ratzon, one's will from an act, is ka'akiras amase, is to remove oneself from the act. It's as though you've uprooted the act. Again, in gradation. Akiras haratzon ka'akiras amase. Because remember, all of averas, as it were, they damage our relationship with Hashem. Hashem is completely transcendent of time. Yesterday, today, tomorrow make absolutely no difference to him. It just is. So my relationship with any given act is only the amount of will, right? Only the amount of will that I put into it. The amount of will that I put into it. When I'm okay, my rotten from it, and I turn it from, whoa, this is life, to whoa, this is stupid. This is stupid. Akira sarotzen ki akira samase. My avir is turned from a mazid into a shogig. What does, right, tshuva me'ava do though? Tshuva me'ava is different. Tshuva me'ava is as follows. Tshuva me'ava, a person, he wants to return back to Hashem. Not that he doesn't realize the ramifications and the punishment. He realizes the punishment. But the ikar is, how could I have done this to the one who has given me everything? How could I have been such a heel? How could I have turned my back on the one who has given me everything? The one to whom my identity is attached? How could I have been so such an ingrate? How could I have been such an unbelievably... How could I be so chutzpahdik? Who am I next to Hashem? It's a different tenor to the, we call it, to the tshuva. In that sense, the severity of the sin, right, multiplies, as it were, the emotion of the return. The severity of the sin multiplies, magnifies the energy of the return. In that sense, the averas become part of the tshuva process itself. They become part of my becoming closer. Example. Let's say a person, right? A person can never say, you know, making up is so much fun. Let's have a fight, right? You don't say that. You don't say that. You would never say, well, let's really have a really good fight. You know what? I'll crease your skull with a schnitzel hammer, right? And then what do you call it? And I'll dump a load of garbage on your head, right? Which is like, oh, incredibly grotesque, right? And then I'll say, forgive me, and what do you call it? And we'll make up, and it'll be just such a sweet event, right?
No, I don't do.
Well, he thought that if he had chira, Whatever. But that's a separate issue. But we're not Adam. We're after a post-Adam. No one would ever do anything like that. No one ever would think like that. And how can you do that? How can you, if you love somebody, how can you come over and be cruel to them in order to be able to make up? That's ridiculous. You couldn't do
that. Maybe not on that level.
Later, but the fact is that it's all the same. It's just because we're less sensitive to the spiritual world. That's all. That's all because of our lack of sensitivity. If we're more sensitive, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. Could you insult somebody, right, so you could make up afterwards?
What if you just left them?
What if you just left them? That's also cruel, no?
No, yeah, but it's for positive religion, but I want to get back.
Again, what do you call it? If there's something that needs fixing, it's one thing, right? Okay, so let's say we're talking about it as an educational process right now, but here we're not talking about that. We're just talking about for the sake of creating pain and the distance in order to bring equality in order to make. You wouldn't do that. How can you do that to somebody? That's what is known as echte v'ashuv in my speaking the other last of tshuva. A person who says, I'll sin, and then I'll do tshuva. And then I'll sin again, and I'll do tshuva, right? In my speaking the other last of tshuva, he doesn't have the capacity. It's not like God won't accept his tshuva. God will accept anybody's tshuva. The problem is the person has taken away from himself the capacity to do tshuva because he has diminished this entire frame of reference, the entire framework of sin. He's diminished into something that's what he calls that has no meaning. His tshuva will never be meaningful because he thinks it's a game. I'll sin, I'll do tshuva. We're playing a game. It's not real. So he'll never do a proper tshuva. But if he did the Averis, and then he did the heartfelt tshuva, so the degree of distance that he created through the sin itself contributes, as it were, to the, what we call it, to the what do you call it, the magnifying of the return. Bidyuk. The pasuk says in Zecharia, Darachta li Yehuda Keshes. Pasuk says in Zecharia that Yehuda of all the tribes is the master of tshuva, right? And the most illustrious master of tshuva within Yehuda is David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech. And what is David HaMelech? What do you call it? David HaMelech is the master of tshuva, right? He's referred to as Ne'um HaGever. Thus saith the man, Asher Hukam Al, who was raised up above all. Hukam Al, that's a very strange phrase, Hukam Al. So Chazal say, what does that mean? Asher Hikim, he raised up Ulo, the yoke of tshuva. The yoke of tshuva, David HaMelech. But what does this mean? Zerachel Yehuda Keshes. When a person pulls back on a bow, right? He wants the arrow to go over there, but Lamaisa right now, as he's pulling on the string of the bow, he's pulling in the opposite direction. The more he pulls in the opposite direction, so if he never lets go, he's only pull the arrow in the wrong direction before he wants it to go. But if he eventually does let go, the arrow will go much further than if he never pulled back on the bow in the first place. Again, you can't plan your life around it, because that's Echta V'Ashuv. Echta V'Ashuv, Ema Spikim Yadol La'as Shuvah. That you can't plan your life that way, because that's like saying, I'll beat the devil out of you and then we'll make up, right? Well, you can't plan your life like that. But if it happens, again, we're talking about Hashem who's willing to forgive, right? Willing to forgive. We're not talking about a person who at certain times, a person is incapable of forgiving, what he calls some things that are done to them, etc. But anyway, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite in his mercy, therefore, if unilaterally I want to come back, I'm accepted. It's an amazing thing. Amish, amazing thing.
Okay, I just want to understand that
because he said on the one hand, if you do tshuva, zdonos ma'asos lo kishkagos. That's how he understood the first pasuk in the Haftorah. Shuv Yisrael Hashem Elokech kichashal tavavanecha. And then they quote another citation from Ish Lakish where he says that zdonos ma'asos lo kishkagos. So which is it? The first one is the one in our, what he calls the Shuv Meira. The second one is Shuv Me'af.
The Shuv Meira, wouldn't that mean like Shuv got out of there? Or how is it, which one is fake?
With Shuv of what?
Meira.
Yeah.
It's from Fair.
Fair, right.
But like, I feel like whenever anyone describes the Shuv Meira, they never say that like he does the Shuv off because he's scared of the repercussions from Hashem. They always say that like he regrets it. But like, I mean, shouldn't the literal meaning mean like that he's only doing tshuva out of fear from Hashem, and the other one is he's doing tshuva out of love, which is the tshuva. Do you know what I mean?
Well, again, what do you call it? I mean, the tshuva, why is he doing tshuva? Because he has regret. You always need in tshuva. Without regret, it's no tshuva. If he doesn't regret what he did, let's put it this way. Oftentimes, we have a relationship, what we call it, the sin. What they refer to in Hebrew is Tov Shahaya, is good that was, right? Aval Hayat Tov, but it was good, right? Tov Shahaya, it's good that's over with. Aval Hayat Tov, but when it was, right? It was good. So that's a flaw in the tshuva. That's a flaw in the tshuva. A person has to be so repulsed from what he did. I once heard the example. Someone mentioned it pretty quote. Someone gave the example. Harata is, yeah, right? A person is still, excuse me for using it, but I think it gets the point across. A person eats a hamburger, right? Someone afterwards comes and tells that was trafe. That was terrible, right? We'd be disgusted by it, right? Well, let's say it was really delicious, it was an unusual hamburger, right? We'd probably still be disgusted by it, I think, probably. Right, probably. But there are other avarias that it's difficult for us to feel disgusted by it. Right? Because I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore, but Hayatov, it was good while it lasted. But let's say somebody ate a hamburger and then someone afterwards came and told them afterwards, that was your grandmother you just ate. Right? Oh! 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 Oh, repulsed is not the word. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You really wouldn't know what to do with yourself. Right? Right? Excuse me for the imagery. It wasn't my idea, but I think it's a brilliant idea.
No,
someone else I heard from somebody. I'm not quoting from because I don't know if you want to be quoted as. But anyway, recall, but that's charata. How could I have done something like that? What a disgusting thing to do. What a disgusting thing to do. Like slapping my beloved in the face, you know, like what do you call that? And that's what every Avera is, really. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the source. If you think for a second, the Tomer Dvora says as follows. The Tomer Dvora is a famous sefer, right? You know the Tomer Dvora?
Famous stem.
Okay. Right? It's a famous sefer by Moshe Kodavero, Ramak. And it's all sefer about how a person has to be more forgiving in his relationship with other people, and to what do you call it, and to bear, you know, their slings, their arrows, their deficiencies, yeah, etc., etc., etc. Why? Because every person is a constant recipient of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's forgiveness, right, in an incredibly spectacular fashion. I.e., he says as follows: he says Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us life. Why does he give us life? He gives us life as a gift, in order that we should be able to achieve for ourselves an even greater thing, which is everlasting life, on a very high, intense and intimate level with Him, through receiving reward for actions well done, as opposed to a freebie. So life is all for our benefit. The framework within which He presents us with life is that your job description as you walk the face of the earth is to search out My presence, declare My presence, behave in an appropriate fashion according to that presence, right? Teach others of it, etc., etc. That's your job description. Not because Hashem has a deficiency with his self-concept, he doesn't need a pat on his back, but because that is the construct within which we have purpose, right? He gives us a job description which by definition requires is bilateral, i.e. there is the king and someone giving honor to the king. It's not a unilateral process, it's a bilateral process. That gives us a purpose. That's what He's done for us. So He's given us this life, and to do that with it. Now, what do we do with the life? We take the life, and not only do we use it to our benefit, but what we do is we use it in chutzpah vis-a-vis Him. Chutzpah. Or we use the life to rebel against Him. The life that He gave us as a present, to be able to achieve ourselves something better, right? We use it as a means by which we rebel against Him. This is akin, this is tantamount to, I made for you a Boston cream pie, right? Like Boston cream, right? We call Boston, there's the guys with the tea party and stuff. I'm sorry, I don't think it'll be a bad topic. It's the Boston cream pie, here it is, and imagine, yes, the Revolutionary War. Imagine what he called, they offered this Boston cream pie to you, and you took it, and what he called, and it's very fat, but let's say this is non-fat, so it's all plus. Total plus. Right? And you go like this, your benefactor, right into his face. Like, what if somebody does that? What do they deserve? What do they deserve? But not, that's not only that. Says the Talmud Dvorah even more than that. Every time a person commits an Avera, not only are they taking that light and spitting it back at Hashem, but also there is a natural, quote-unquote, repercussion from this. A spiritual, natural repercussion. That is, when a person is over an Avera, he creates a Malach Chabala, an avenging angel. Every act that we do creates. It either creates good things or creates bad things. Good acts create good angels. Bad acts create avenging angels. The natural sustenance in this avenging angel's diet is the soul of the individual who created him.
Oh, feed me.
Right? That's his natural diet. So he wants to consume the person. What does Hashem do? Hashem says, Edgar, come here. I'll feed you. I'll feed you. Maybe he'll do tshuva, and then you'll be evaporated. Right? You'll be erased. Do tshuva, and he's gone. So what do? We take the light. It's the light that Hashem gives us, which was to our benefit. We spit it back in his face, God forbid. Not only that, we create a natural course of events that really should bring our own destruction, immediate destruction. Hashem, in turn, forestalls that. Right? By feeding Edgar over here, or Leroy, whatever name you want to give him, feeds him to such a point that we do tshuva, Isn't that an amazing thing? That's an amazing thing. That's an absolutely amazing thing. So a person thinks, right? A certain person thinks about, how could I have done that? How could I have done that to my benefactor? How could I have done that? It's not just my benefactor, that's the source of my identity. I've cut myself off from myself. Where do I come from? Where's my real identity? Is my real identity, what you call it, the clothes that I walked out from the department store with? That's my identity. Is my identity, what do you call it? Identity is my bank account? Is my identity how many friends I have? Is identity, what do you call what my appearance is? What is my identity? My identity, the highest level of a person's soul, is called yichida. Highest level of his individuality is the deepest part of his soul. And that's attached to a bone shalom. So what have I done? It's not just that I'm afraid of the repercussions of Avera. How could I have done this? How could I have done this to the one who loves me so much? He loves me so much. And this is what I give him in return? That's true of Me'ava. That's what I mean, that the more severe the amount and the degree of the Averas are, it multiplies the return. Because I'm so recall, oh, it energizes my return. How could I have done this? How could I have done that? Oh, please, can you forgive me? The cry that wells up from the person is deeper the more he feels the distance. The more distanced he feels, the more he has to cry out louder. Al zeh ne'emar, right? B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gmurim yicholim la'amod. You can't plan your life that way. Plan your life the way you shot yourself in the leg, right? But if that's the way life comes out, a person has the capacity in this world to take himself further than he would have gone had he never got to be sinned in the first place.
Okay, so, I think, isn't it in the last level, I think, is Yirat Lachit? It's the highest level. It's also fear of ruining a relationship with Hashem.
Right.
So, Tshuva Meira.
Tshuva Meira is Yirat Onesh. Right, it's not the years of chet, it's the years of onish. Right, right, that's the same thing. Tshuva Me'ava. Says the, maybe we'll summarize the Sefer Charedim. Right. Says the Sefer Charedim, right, right, we'll summarize it, right, because, right, you want to turn the page. He says as follows. He says, this same idea. First of all, he says an unbelievable principle. He says that, let's just read the beginning. Read what he quotes. It says, you see where the paragraph there. It's not the Mesechus Avos. Right? This is third line down. Fourth line down in the citation. It's not the Mesechus Avos. Greg Dahl, Mishnah Gibbon. Rav Elezer and Yaakov Omer, right? Ha'osa mitzvahachat kanul. Practically, that's how a person does a mitzvah, as mentioned before. Has gained for himself one defending attorney. Ha'over avera ach, the person over an avera, one avera, kanal kategor echad. He has, in words, created for himself a prosecuting, attorney. Tshuva ma'isin tovim kitris b'fnei ha'koronos. A person who engages in tshuva and ma'isin tovim is like a shield before the Puranas, before catastrophe, before Puranas. Okay? On this, he asks the question: Hiksha Harav Meir Rabbeinu Meir Mitula Tula, right? I assume it's Toledo, not in Ohio, right? Rather in Spain, yeah. Hiksha Rabbeinu Meir Zal. The Hatanya we learned in a Baraisa, we learned in a Mishnaic source in Meseches. What do you call it? Yuma. Dalid Chiluke Kapara. There are four different levels of Kapara. Four different levels of cleansing. What are they? So I'll speak it out right now. Person is over on a mitzvah essay. Person negates a positive commandment. All he needs to do is tshuva, proper tshuva, and he's clean. He's cleansed himself. Person is over on a negative commandment. He wore shatnas, he ate treif, right? Something of that nature. He needs, in order to completely cleanse himself, tshuva is not sufficient. He needs Yom Kippur. He needs the unique quality of Yom Kippur to finish the cleansing process.
What is this for?
I'm sorry?
What is this for?
For negative prohibition. If a person was over on a negative prohibition that also would ordinarily incur the death penalty, or kares, right, being cut off, Shul Shabbos, Kili Arayas, right, eating blood, eating chalev, the machal yom kippurim, etc. The person is over one of those averas, right? So then, tshuva and yom kippurim start the ball rolling. He needs the yisurim, he needs suffering to cleanse himself.
What's that called? Like, being
over on those types of it's a negative prohibition that has an isuri kares or isuri mitzvah bezda. Mitat bet din. Right? The bet din, right? Not kadaka. Right? The bet din will put him to death.
Oh.
Right? In other words, recording with Machal Shabbos. Right? Machal Shabbos. Again, recorder, he ate chalev, he ate dam, he ate chomet on Pesach, Machal Yom Kippurim, right, Gal HaRayas, etc. Things of that nature. So there, Tshuva and Yom Kippurim start the ball rolling, and what finishes the job is Yisurim. And then a person who is Machal Shem Shemayim, so then he needs death. Death is what completes the process. Okay.
So now,
right. Death completes the process. So now the problem is, how can it be that there appears to be a stira, there seems to be a contradiction between the Mishnah in Avos and the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says there's certain types of errors that require Yisurim. Yisurim is a cleansing process. Right? Certain times of erets require Yisurim as a cleansing process. And the Mishnah also says, if a person is Osik and Shuvah and Maisim Tovim, it is like a shield before the Puranas. It's like a tree, a shield before calamity, before suffering. something doesn't make sense here. If a person committed, you hear the stira, you hear the contradiction?
Where does it say that about the shield?
That was the Mishnah we read in Avos, the beginning. Right? The prosecuting angel, the defending angel, and tshuva, the last thing said, tshuva, maisim tovim, right? Tshuva, a person engages in tshuva and maisim tovim, it's ketris b'fnei ha'poranos, it's like a shield before suffering. So how can it be? If I did this sort of aveira that requires the yisurim to clean me up, I don't want a shield before what you call the suffering. I want to get cleaned up.
What do you mean a shield?
And as it prevents the yisurim from coming on. So what's the point? I need to record. It's like saying, oh, no, record. Wait a second, you've got some pretty heavy stains on your clothing there, record. Pretty heavy stains on your clothing. We're going to take some chemicals there and get that out for you in a jiffy. Don't sweat. No! Don't get... Samek, I've got my phasers up. Record. Don't get near me. Don't get near me. What are you doing that for? You need these germs to finish the cleansing process.
Wait, who says that about the whole shield business?
That's the Mishnah and Avos.
Okay. Good.
Yes, David Harim, he's quoting both. He's asking him as a question. He's bringing the Ramah, Rav Meir Halevi, the Toledo, or whatever it is. Yeah? Right, he's bringing his question, his answer. Yuma, he didn't say what the source is, he just says Dalak Shaluki Kapara. I'm telling you that's in Yuma.
If you do the Shavat even the year, I do. When it changed it to a shogun, then it would lessen it, and then you never have to have a sword.
He says, what he answers is, if you do tshuva me'ava, then you don't have need for your sword. In tshuva me'ira, the avera still remains. It's been lessened. But it was a very severe avera. So it's true you've transformed it. This is his answer. This is his answer. He uses the same principle to answer this question. When do you need your sword if you do tshuva me'ira? Why? Because the avera still remains, just you've lessened, yeah? You've lessened your attachment to it. Before you were attachment with it, gewaldig, this is life, right? Super, right? Monty Python, eat your heart out, right? Yeah? But that's really cool. That's when you start off with Tshuva Meira. But if you do Tshuva Meava, really cool. All the averas are turned into squeal. You don't need to erase anything. Well, heaven has been transformed into something completely different. That's what he answers. And that uses that principle to explain why sometimes it says tshuva maisim tovim. In other words, a tshuva that turns into maisim tovim is a treat, is a shield before puranas. We'll never need the puranas then. No matter how severe the avera was that you committed.
I'm really, really confused.
If you do tshuva, record. If you do tshuva meira, so the avera still remains.
Right.
Just your attachment to it has been diminished. It's turned into a shogeg.
Yeah.
So you still might need the yisurim
right.
to finish cleaning you up.
Right.
But if you've transformed the avera into a mitzvah by doing tshuva mi'ahava, why would you need yisurim? You don't need to be cleansed anymore.
Yeah.
You've got mitzvahs out of it.
Right.
So that's good. So that's the answer.
But it's not the answer to the question that you just asked, which is what is the point of this section. And it kind of is, but...
What was the question
you asked? I don't know, did I get it wrong?
What is the point? I was asking as follows. But it is the answer to it. What I was asking is, if you did the sort of avera that requires the yisurim, so why do I want a shield to protect me from it? I need the yisurim to come and finish cleaning me up. I understand it with ridicule, with shoe polish on my nose. I got to get it cleaned off. And if it's a sort of avera that wouldn't generate yisurim, so what do I need a shield for?
Oh, so the shield is not just for ones that you need yisurim for. The shield is just for when you do teshuva. You get
shield.
Yeah, when you do.
You do tshuva me'ava, he says you've done it, you've eliminated the necessity for suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shield. Why? Because you tshuva me'ava, you turned it into mitzvahs. There's nothing to erase anymore. There's nothing to protect yourself from it. Because the avera is always generating, as it were, the yisurim. But if you've removed the radioactive source, there's nothing to protect yourself from. It's gone. It's turned into mitzvahs. So that's what he called. He uses that same concept to answer this question. In addition, he wants to say that's the pshat in the pasuk here as well, by Asana Haftorah, right? Which is Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Ki Chashalta Ba'avonecha. Right? Hashem tells the Navi, tell the Jewish people. Do tshuva miyira, just at least tshuva miyira, so that at least you can turn it into a kishalon. Comes along the Navi and says even more than that. I say to you as follows, more than that. Kui v'chem dvarim v'shuva el Hashem. Return back to Hashem. Imrulav, say to him as follows, kol tisavon, lift up the avira completely. Remove any traces of the avira. And in its place, v'kach tov, take good. Why? Do tshuva miyava. In other words, really cool. In other words, the Rav Ma, Rav Meir Alevi, quoted by the Haredim, is saying that the first pasuk is saying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people. Return, really cool. He says to the Navi, tell him to return to Hashem, at least be Shuvah Meira. And the Navi, the word one up to me, he says, really cool. Forget about Shuvah Meira, do even more than that. Kui vachem dvarim meshuvu el Hashem. Imo elav kol tisav on mekach tov and shalom parnas vaseinu. Right? Take with your word. We'll talk about that in just a second. What do you call it? What those words are. The kach tov. And take tov in its place. Let there be good actions in its place. In other words, let the avera be transformed into good actions. Unishalma parim sfasenu. And our words, our vidui, our speaking to Hashem as expressive of our heartfelt feelings, will take the place of parim. Parim are korbanos. Kabbanos come to be mechaper and shogeg. We won't need even a kapara and shogeg, because if you do tshuva me'ava, there is no shogeg left. There's nothing left. It's all been transformed into mitzvahs. So he uses this principle, differentiating between tshuva me'ava and tshuva me'ira, first to answer what would appear to be the contradiction from the Gemara in Yuma to the Mishnah in Avot. And then in addition, he wants to say that this is really the progression that's being discussed in the first two psukim of the Haftorah. Ki chashalta b'avonecha is referring to the world of tshuva meyira, and kol tisa avon v'kach tov u'neshama parm sasenu is the world of tshuva me'ava.
Wait, korban only ever turns to shogeg?
Only shogeg. You never bring a korban on David.
Mm.
Will help.
Okay.
Now let's drop down to the last citation, right, on the page, right? The Sefer Haredim once again, a different piece. Hol v'nefesh kol Yisrael. This is a shorter piece. We'll do this inside. Hol v'nefesh kol Yisrael. since the soul, or the soul of the Jewish people as a whole, etem echad, we're all linked to one another. Kida Amar, as we know, right? Yaakov came down with shivim nefesh. Right? You say shivim nefashot. Really? Nope, shivim nefesh. Why? Because we're all one soul. B'chol Yisrael, ye'aseh roshem. Babsi b'hatzdik adam nafsho. When a person, as it were, makes his himself more righteous. B'hatzdik adam nafsho. As a person, as it were, improves his quality of tzidkis. B'chol Yisrael, ye'aseh roshem. It will have a ripple effect on everybody in the Jewish people. You do tshuva, it's going to affect on other people. Ubo yitzteku v'yishalu kol zer Yisrael. And through him, other people will improve their righteousness. Other people will become more praiseworthy. All the house of Israel. And so too also, God forbid, a person sins. We're all in the same boat. It has an effect on all the Jewish people. Lachain, therefore, tis orer nafshecha bekavona gedola, lashuv betshuva. Arouse your soul with tremendous kavona to do tshuva. V'techavein she'imcha yashuva kol Yisrael, and your intention should be that with you should return all of the Jewish people. V'hainu, and that is which we read in the pasuk. Shuva Yisrael, doesn't say shuvu, it says shuva. To one Jew even, the pasuk is addressing itself. Shuva Yisrael, one Jew, you Jew, shuva Yisrael. Ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta b'avonecha. V'hadar k'tiv, and afterwards it says, k'chuimachem dvarim. All of a sudden it transformed itself into the plural, k'chuimachem dvarim. What do you mean k'chuimachem? Kach imcha dvarim, not k'chuimachem. How do we go to single it to the plural? K'chuimachem dvarim. V'shuvu v'lashon rabim. Because what's being described over here is another process that as one individual does tshuva, it has a ripple effect upon the entire Jewish people. V'lachein b'sayim, kishav api mimenu. Right? Later on it says, kishav api pasuk hey. Kishav api mimenu. Right? From one individual, my anger has been turned back. Right? Kishav api mimenu. U'pirshu razal, and Chazal explained this, afilu echad sh'yoshiv, even one person who does tshuva, yoshiv charon af Hashem mikulam. He can return, he can cause an abatement of an abating of the anger of Hashem against the entire Jewish people. One person does tshuva. Ki gorem shekulam yaharu b'tshuva. Because the result is that every that will cause other people to be maharher b'tshuva. This, first of all, there's a sociological element over here. One person does tshuva, it has a spillover effect on a sociological level, but there's also a spiritual component here as well. As that one person would equate, helps narrow the gap between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, that has a vibratory effect on all the rest of the Jewish people. They feel, as it were, the spiritual tectonic plates shifting. And then Mahar B'Tshuva. It's not just a sociological phenomenon. Ki gorm shekul mihar B'Tshuva, efshe d'haynu d'chziv, alamda foshim d'rachecha v'chatoim elecha yashuvu, nimtze mezake acherim. David HaMelech says, I will teach the poshim drachecha v'chatoim elecha yashuvu. Right? And it's literally he can teach them, but it's not just that. He says, inherently, in his tshuva, it has an effect on people. Yeah, query.
Doesn't,
we heard this in the Beit HaLevi
before. I mean,
is this
the
Haredim before the Beit HaLevi? Yeah. The Haredim in the Ari. The Ari had a very special shul, right? He was like the Rebbe, Kilo. And the Beit Yosef was like the Rav, right? He was the Dayan. Rebbe was the Ra'ari was the biggest Makubal, and the Beis Yosef was the Rav, and the Al Sheikh was the Darshan, and Shlomo Levi Alkavetz was the Chazan, right? That's the author of the Chadodi, yeah? And they would call it, and the Haredim was the Shamas. And there's some other people there also, I can't remember what they're talking about. Whatever, the Haredim was the Shamas.
So why
did he set
the Darshan?
Look at
the
Rabbi,
just to be
there. He had a koach, Vidorish. There's a famous story, I shouldn't tell you the story, but I'll tell you a story recall. The story once, the Al Sheikh. There are people who are great Talmid HaChachamim, but the public speakers are not. Right? They're not. And the other people are public speakers, they're excellent public speakers, they're not as big as Talmid HaChachamim, some of the others. Yeah? It's what they call the different gift. He was once giving it to Russia. He was talking about Yaakov and Lavan, Parshas Vayetze, and all the things that Lavan, you know, the Al-Sheikh is always medayak from the Pesukim, you see this. He says, and this is what Lavan did to Yaakov, and this is what Lavan did to Yaakov, and this is what Lavan did to Yaakov. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this whole list that he was extrapolating from the Pesukim, this is what Lavan did to Yaakov, the Ari, who was sitting there listening, he was listening, began to chuckle. He was taken aback. Why is he chuckling? He continued the drush, and afterwards he finished and he came over to him. He says, Rebbe, did I say something wrong? He says, no. You should just know that all the time that you were speaking, Lavan was sitting in the base medrash. And every time you said, and this is what Lavan did to Yaakovini, he says, that's right, I did. And this is what Lavan did to Yaakovini. Lavan said, yep, I did that. And then you said that last one, and Lavan said, I should have done that also. Okay. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, his soul was there. We believe in the transmigration of souls, right? Etc. And yeah. We'll talk it over later. Okay. Fine. Further. Let's go further. Kuim Lachem Dvarim, page 2. Kuim Lachem Dvarim. Let's go to the second passage. Let's see. Instead of just looking in broad strokes, let's look at the words. Kuim Lachem Dvarim. V'shuvu el Hashem. Imur ilav kol tisa avon. V'kach tov v'nishalma parm tzvaseinu. Says Radak. Kuim Lachem Dvarim. What are these Dvarim? Any shoel mikem b'tshuva. Lo kesev, lo zav, lo olos. El advarim tovim. Good things. Shetisvadu bahem avonoseim, v'shuva l'Hashem b'chol levavchem, v'lo b'sasayim b'lvad. Right? In other words, what am I asking from you? Tisvadu avonosam. See, dvarim is a very interesting thing. Only in Lashon HaKodesh, right? Only in Lashon HaKodesh do you find the phenomena where things are words. Right? You wouldn't say in English, take that wordable away. Like that, I couldn't think of calling it a lectern, right? So we call it, take that thing away. Take away that wordable. It's a wordable. You'd have me committed, right? I mean, I haven't committed anyway. But you have me committed. What's a wordable? And yet in Lashon HaKodesh, Dvarim is from Dibur. Dvarim is from Dibur. It's a fascinating thing. That's because everything, Rekord, is really a creation of Hashem's Dibur. Everything is a creation of Hashem's Dibur. So on the one hand, that should give us a little bit of cause to think before we speak. Because we are created with Tzelem Elokim. Therefore, our Dibur is incredibly precious. On the other hand, what he says over here is Kachi Ikhuimachem Dvarim. Which Dvarim is it? He first mentions El Dvarim Tovim, good things, Shetizvadu Bahem Avonoseichem. And it's this Dibur, good things. Take with you good things. What are those good things? Good things. To really be Mizvada. When a person really does Vidui, what is the Vidui process? The Vidui process is the verbalization of Hakaras HaChet. I recognize I did something wrong. These are the fundamentals of tshuva. If I don't recognize I did something wrong, there's no way I can do tshuva. If I think about tzaddik, right? I think about tzaddik, so why should I do tshuva? I have to be makir, I've got a chet. I have to be mischaret. I have to regret that I did that chet. Not, as we said before, tov shahaya, aval haya tov. Right? What? That good old days, right? Yeah. And report. And the third thing is kabbalah la'asid, to accept upon myself, not to do it in the future. All these things have to be verbalized. If they're verbalized, but in a heartfelt fashion, so what I've done is I've created good things for myself. I've detached myself. It's not enough report. It's not enough to just think about it. A person has to verbalize it, because when he verbalizes it, verbalization is such a delicate system. On the one hand, it's attached to the world of thought. It's expression to thought. It's the closest thing to expression of thought. It's the most sublime thing that gives expression to thought. Because action is already a little bit more, what we call a little bit more on the gross level. I don't mean the negative sense, just what we call, it's not fine motor, it's more gross motor, as it were, action. On the other hand, verbalization is what we call, takes place in the real world. It's no longer hidden internally, it's external. So as I take these dvarim, as I give verbalization to heartfelt thoughts, this is klimachem dvarim. Not just the same levad, not just the lips alone, right? That's the radak. See the Malbim. There's more than that, but let's stop with that. The Malbim says, "Ku mosif od she'achar she'tagiu ad Hashem that you krovim et lo." Malbim's got a whole different outlook on this. What do you call it? On this pasuk over here. How did he understand? Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Return back to Hashem. It says the Malbim, after you've returned to Hashem, then what? There's the way the Radak understands that this is part of the tshuva process. How does one do tshuva? Chuim lachem dvarim, reshuva Hashem, it's not what we're doing. That's how the Radak understands it. The Malbim understands it differently. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, do tshuva. Return to Hashem. How do you do tshuva? Of course, look in the Rambam, you'll find out how to do tshuva. You have to have charata, you have to have kabbalah, yeah, but you have to express it verbally. But that's all subsumed under the first pasuk. Oh, what's chuim lachem dvarim? Says the Malbim, al tosifu lehetiv ma'aseichem, increase your ways, improve your ways. And it's not just what you call, but after you've done tshuva, okay, that's it, I'm safe, I did tshuva. Ah, I said, Lordy, please forgive me, please. I did tshuva, I'm finished. Kuim lachem dvorim. Be native your ma'asim. A person should never satisfy with being mediocre. Right? That's it. I'm in a stable plane right now. I'm in the plateau. I rejected my old ways. What am I going to do now? I just chill out. I don't go any further right now. I'm too tired. Right?
How's
it feel good shot? Kuim lachem dvorim. Let's see. Asosifu lehetiv ma'aseichem. Lahaba. In the future. V'la'asos tshuva me'ahava. To do what? To do tshuva mi'av. And as he understands, the first pasuk is, do tshuva mi'ira, right? Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta b'avonecha. And now he says, chui machem dvarim, right? Start going for it. Do take with your might, be naked your ma'asim, show that you want to, you're not just afraid of the onus, but you want to turn to become a whole different person. Be naked your ma'asim, to tshuva mi'av. Ad shetik chui machem dvarim, haynu inyonim, Shehem yedabu v'yalitzu v'yosher yalitzu yosher aleichem v'yolamd aleichem tchus. Change your whole modus vivendi. Change your whole what do you call it? Your whole outlook on life. Change your whole way of behavior. Kuim lachem dvarim. That'll be part of your tshuva mi'ava. If you're really sincere in rebuilding the relationship, if you're just trying to avoid punishment, it's just escape avoidance. So fine, that's it. I'm finished. Goodbye. I'm going to golf course. Right? But if what you want to do is you really want to create a new dynamic relationship, so the minute you've done your tshuva, the minute you've said your tshuva, that's not enough. You've got to change your whole way of relationship. Please accept this gift from me. Please let me write you a poem. Please, etc. You want to improve the relationship. Be made to your ma'asim.
But
yep. He says, listen how he says, look, the second line. Hainu, see where the dash is? Right? Hainu, inyonim, shehem yedabru, There are things that will speak on your behalf. In what you call, that also speaks to what he calls. A person's dvarim, the things that he does, are medabrim for him. They speak for him. That's the idea of a malach melitz. When a person does a mitzvah, it's a malach melitz that we spoke about before, right? Or a praklit, as the Haredim, or the Mishnah and Yovel say. In other words, he speaks on my behalf. The good deeds that I do speak for me. V'yalamdu aleichem tzchus, shu mitzvah, so my sintovim shetasu. V'shuvu, and I turn again, sheni sel Hashem. In other words, what do you call it? If you chu imachem dvarim, changing your mode of behavior, that these things that you will do will speak on your behalf, the result will be v'shuvu. And you return, sheni sel Hashem, a second time to Hashem, v'hi tshuva me'ava. Shlo yuchshivu azdonos neshkogos akos tzchuyos. Because you have to change over your whole mode of behavior. You have to redirect your entire life. V'azlo tia slicha ba'avur shiyuchshav ones v'shogig. No longer will your forgiveness be based upon the fact that you were considered as though you committed an error under duress or by mistake. Umuter, you made an error. Tia slicha idei shiyir ez chuyoseim v'tzitkoseim shiyikhui mayim. To see all the positive deeds that you've taken on to do by yourself, right? And they will speak on your behalf. And this will speak on them. He will forgive them even though originally they committed the sin b'meizid. Also, as he sees, she'achrei, she'posho, negdo, shavu la'avoso, v'avodoso, b'chol lev, lo me'yiris onesh rak mi'ahava. Right, that's where Hashem will see us.
So it's like the test. The shiva is the thing everyone can do. But
yeah, halavai we could do that. Yeah, right.
Not necessarily the ava, though. It's not, isn't it?
Yeah. But oz amuela, kol tisa avon v'kachtov. And then the pasuk continues, kol tisa avon. Shetisa kola avon, lo kubo betchila shol nasa es kola avon. Before, part of the oven was lifted up. It still remained ki'ilu, I did it by mistake. It remains like a shogi. But now, after kuim lachem dvarim v'shuva ad Hashem, right? Shuvah El Hashem, after I've done that, then it's kol tisa avon v'kach tov. Remove the error completely. Shalona sa es kol avon. Initially, all the avon wasn't removed. It still remained a shogeg. Rak mitzasuk ya dain nishar chet shogeg. Shalona sa rak mashiyachshov oso shogeg. Va'ata tisa oso gam mizeh. Remove it completely. Lift it off completely. Hatzad shetachshov shu avon mezid ubechol zos tita lehem. Nonetheless, it'll be removed from and lifted off of them. Vezei yaalidei shetikach tov, shetikach lenegdo tov hamaisim vaschuyos. That'll be through what we call the good actions. You see that the person is behaving differently. You see that really wants to improve in relationship. You see he's being shav me'ava. Uneshal meparim tzvaseinu. Yeah. You still need to bring the parim, right? Like I said before, korbanos for shogeg. You need to bring a korban, the korban al shogeg. Skip the parentheses, don't mind. Al ata shetavir gamet a shogeg nishlam tachas pariyachatas bedvarim shenemar besoseinu through our words, through our deeds, etc. No longer, we won't need any more korbanos. And there's no longer even a shogeg. I want to see at least two more things, please. Okay? Take a look, see. Okay. See? Look at this citation from Mishlei. In terms of kol tisa avon the kach tov. Kach tov. This is a very important gra in Mishlei. In terms of tshuva. Pasuk says, the chesed ve'emes yichupar avon v'yiras Hashem sur meira. The gra here gives us the recipe for change. The recipe for change. How do I rectify what I did? How do I change my mode of behavior in the future? Says the gra. I think it's pretty cool. Fitting with the Malvin thing about the idea of proactive, positive behavior is part of the kapara process. It's not just like I'm starting afresh, right? And it doesn't relate to what I did in the past. Proactive, positive behavior helps redress some of the errors of the past. Look, what does the Gra say? Chesed ve'emes, through kindness and truth, yuhupar avon, right? Avon, the avera, the mazid, will be cleansed. Will be yiras Hashem, and with fear of Hashem, sur merah, that will cause a person to distance himself from evil. Says the Gra. Kikash or adam, right? When a person, rotze, loshu ve Hashem, wants to return back to Hashem, meroa me'al alav, from the evil of his ways, tzarech shnei dvarim, he needs two things. Tshuva la'avar, aleph, and beis, l'kabel al atmo al haba l'sur mira. Person has to redress the past, and he has to, as it were, right, improve the future. V'amar, and Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, sha'al ha'avar, that on the past, v'chesed v'emes yichupar avon. Through chesed v'emes, through positive acts of chesed emes, a person can cleanse his avon. Shegodol v'tov, listen to this, says the Gra, better, bigger and better, mikol asigufim, from all the suffering that a person could bring upon himself or could be brought upon him, it's better to be osik v'torah. Ugmilas chasadim, and in gmilas chasadim, kosh amru v'gemara chesed z'gmilas chasadim emes v'torah, ubezeh yichupar avonah. And this you cleanse away the sin. Because what's the shoresh of every sin? The shoresh of every sin is that I transformed my God-centric universe into an egocentric universe for a limited period of time. Right? In other words, what happened is, essentially I'm a God-fearing person. I'm a good person. What happened? I didn't do what I knew was right. I did what I wanted to because I thought it would be more pleasant and pleasing for who I am. So I, kaviyachol, booted out the Ribbono Shel Olam from the center of my universe, and I displaced him, and I replaced him with myself, as an egocentric universe. Chesed and emes. Chesed means being completely committed to give to others. I'm, as it were, I am transforming, right? I'm transforming my egocentric universe. When a person is committed to chesed, really committed to chesed, he knows he has to constantly be giving. And he's not constantly giving, he's not vibrating with the flow of life. When a person does chesed like that, he can't be at the center of his own universe. Right? He can't. It's not conceivable. That takes away from his ego. And being mevatel, learning Torah, replacing one's own view of the world, right? Upgrading one's view of the world from what I think is true, what I think is right, to what does Torah say is right? What does Torah say they can do? That's also, it's an excising of the ego from the world of the intellect. So what it is really, chesed excises the ego, right, from the world of the heart. And emes, learning Torah and reshaping one's worldview, right, excises what it calls the unhealthy ego from the world of the intellect. Heart and mind. That detaches me from that path. That's mechaper. That's mechaper. Because what is the ikar of the sins of the past? The ikar of the sins is because they shore up an unhealthy relationship with Hashem, a lack of relationship, a distance relationship. Because my egocentricity, as it were, guide me. How do I excise that? Excise it through Torah, chesed, and emes. Oh, what about the future? The Amar Eitzel Asur Mirah, and he gave us another piece of advice, how to avoid doing averas in the future. V'hainu Sheyasim Yiras Hashem Neged Panav. Person, Shivisi Hashem Neged Tamid. To remind oneself constantly that you're standing in the presence of Hashem. And that Yira will cause me to behave differently. Shiyasim yiras Hashem neged panam. Shakadosh Baruch Hu malei kol ha'aretz kvodo. The omer elav. Here he is watching me. The ro'a masik. He sees what I'm doing. I'm megu'olim. He's seeing my abominable action. Yako, extremo. The eich lo yavosh mipanav. How can I not be embarrassed in front of him? Lavor al ritzonu, the fun of mamish, to go against me. He says, right there. It's like, well, there it is. You know, mom is standing there saying, you know, please don't spill the stuff on the counter. Be very careful. And now I'm not being careful. I'm just like pulling it out all over the bottle. She's standing there, right? Right? 15 ounces of ketchup all over the counter. Why'd you do it? I don't know. I was overcome by an Andy Warhol feeling. Right? Huh? Look, where are you from? Dark side of the moon? Lo yavosh, what a lava or some fun of mam shizel, or be yiras Hashem sur mira. 2 years Hashem sur mira. Just going to do one more pasuk and close with that. Pasuk Dara. Ashur lo yoshienu. Right? Once again, this is another issue. How do you get to Ashur lo yoshienu? We went from the world of tshuva to the world of geopolitics. Right? Elamai, part of our world of aberrations that we live in, yeah, is that we forget, again, once again, that we live in a God-centric universe. So just as in my own personal private world, yeah, my desire for pleasure, right, or my need, as it were, to see my intellect guiding me is what helps distort things. But I think that can also, on a national level, are placing our trust in the nations around us. Yeah, they'll save us, right? The allies will save us. Right? That's what he called that error, right? Is also an error of what he called of that allows me to do avarice, because that pushes, right, the bone shall out of the center of my universe. Ashur lo yoshienu. Don't trust in Ashur. Al sus lo nirkav. Don't trust in Mitzrayim. V'lo nomar od. And in the end, don't say Eloheinu l'maasedinu to the rikwas, the creations of your own hand. Don't say they are my God. The institutions that you've grown accustomed to, yeah, the movement that you've placed your trust in. Not just, you know, Edgar, save me, right? Not just like little, what do you call it, the word, you know, all sorts of talismans and what do you call it, and totem poles and all sorts of nonsense. Right? We think we're very far away from the world of Avodah Zarah, but we're not. We're not classically being over the Avodah Zarah, right? We're not being Meshtachaveh, we're not being mocked here. Right? But our belief in systems, our belief in institutions, our belief in what he called in movements. That's what this pasuk says. Ashur lo yoshienu, al sus lo nirkav, v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yadeinu, asher b'cha yirucham yasom. What?
Idol worship was removed.
The desire for idol worship, right, in the way that we call it in classical idol worship. But all the Rishonim say that the principle of idol worship still exists, just we've transposed it. In other words, then the idol worship, the classical idol worship, and where they were sensitive to certain systems, right, that you can manipulate within the Bria, certain, as it were, supernatural systems that you can manipulate in order to give you whatever you wanted. So we don't have that Yetzirah anymore. We're not equipped. We're no longer spiritually sensitive. We've all become spiritual pachyderms anyway. Right? So it's even it's the moot point. We don't have the ability and we don't have the Yetzirah to do that sort of thing. But instead, what do? We believe in Wall Street. We believe in Wall Street. We believe in what he called. We believe in military systems. We believe in what he called in economic systems. We believe in institutions. We believe in movements. They're going to save us. They'll save us. They're not going to save us. It's just it's a reduction on the one hand. But it's just a camouflage for an Avodah Zarah attitude. There are other forces that we can depend upon.
Yeah, I heard like a different thing that like a void is left in that place.
I'm sorry?
A void, yeah. Where in our brain where it would be a desire to that vital and compensating thing, there was a void. So now we desire nothingness, we want to sit there and do nothing. Whereas that was never a desire.
Right.
So like TV.
Oh, wow. 24 hours a day. When the station stop broadcasting, I turn on the VCR quick. Mm-hmm. Let me see before I go into withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Scary. Okay. Should we do a tshuva shleima? Tshuva yira, tshuva yava. Mitzvah. Okay. Alright, we can look at more here. This is really cool. It's Beit Hashem. The next time we meet Beit Hashem, we'll do Brachos. I have no idea. We actually had somebody else here the last time. We had two other people last time, no?
Yeah.
I don't know where they went to. Come to come back. Yeah, it's all chance. What? Again? Yeah. This is a total non-threatening environment.